Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Are you ready to receive this morning? It's funny because, next Sunday we'll all be standing looking at each other in Chapel Lane going, is this real, like nipping each other? And I was thinking about it this week, this is not the end, right? This is just one week moves into the next. You know what I mean? See, in a couple of months we'll be going like, whatever, you know. And I was thinking about it and going, Lord, like even for myself, right? Like how do you move from one place to the next, right? And do it well? Like what does grace have to say about that? Where do we receive? And it's not just a word for where we are as a church. It's a word for everybody who's sitting here this morning, everyone who's listening online. Because I thought about it and like, you know, I thought, like, do you do something different? Do you, like, really try to dig in? You know, it's like, let's do something really special and memorable. Now, every time I preach, it's special and memorable. Let's be honest, isn't it? All right, you really need to back up there. So, like, every time I preach, it's special and memorable. Yes, that's what I had in my head whenever I was going to say that, right? But I could not get past, you know my favorite story of Joshua? I could not get past what happens just before Jericho. And it's that thing of crossing over. And I've talked about this lots. And because I just had in my heart, and I was like, well, I could get something really special and da-da-da. And the Lord went, no, listen, and this is a word for you. See, everything that you need today, it's already written in the word for you. Do you get that? Sometimes what we do is we look for something over and above and beyond what Jesus has already revealed to us because we kind of feel like he's not enough. It's a bit like, you know, when people stand in front of Lazarus's tomb, Mary and Martha, and they go like, are you sure? Like he's been in there for 4 days. Like when you stand in front of what looks like impossibility with grace right there with you and you go, but is grace enough? Do you get that? Is grace enough? Because we think we need something more than Jesus revealed, like Jesus with us, beside us, in us. And we look, you know, at impossibility or we look at difficulty in our lives and we go, like, you know, he's been dead 4 days. That's the whole thing if he's completely dead, right? But is grace enough? Like, Lord, have you ever found yourself looking at your situation and saying to the Lord, Lord, do you really know what's going on here? Like, are you paying attention, Jesus? Like, anybody? Oh, yes, they're all so spiritual. I feel like not even saved in the room today, right? But we know what that's like, isn't it? And so I find myself back at Joshua chapter 4, but it's not a word for today per se in terms of just this is about us all moving. It's not about that. It's about this is what you need is already in the word, right? See what you need for the next number of months, right? Jesus has already revealed it to you. Now, you've got a choice to make. Whenever, because like I've said, like there is something about moving where we go like, as we move, we have a choice because we kind of have to live like with our flesh, don't we? Yeah? Okay, good. We have to live with our flesh. And then we know what we receive from the Holy Spirit in terms of truth and the revelation of grace. Sometimes those things feel like they're in tension. And one of the interesting things for me is we'll all have a choice to make over these next weeks and months as to how we turn our hearts to Jesus or not. Because some of you won't. Some of you will turn to flesh because flesh screams and flesh shouts and flesh grabs for attention. And flesh feels more real than anything else at times because we can actually feel it. And the Lord says, you're not to live by the flesh, but you're to live by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit with your heart attuned to Jesus and his revelation of grace. All right? And so I want to speak into that today because one thing that it's weird for me standing here. Like, did you mention it was the last time we're going to be here? I heard it, but I wasn't sure, right? And because I preached the very first sermon in here, and I'm preaching the very last one. And the thing that I felt God speak to me just in my spirit this week was, Andrew, whenever you're moving anywhere, all right, the key to go from A to B, right, as you almost like stand in the gap between we're not there and we kind of don't know what this looks like really, right, the key is to remain thankful for what grace has done every time. And thankfulness is your key. I'm going to talk about that because that's our spirit. And let me just shall I get cracking? I haven't started my talk yet. And I've got no idea what time. Normally, see, this is what you don't realize. When I'm preaching, there's a big clock at the back going, hurry up, basically. But I don't have that. So somebody, I don't know, We'll just, let's keep going. So yeah, brilliant. Because we've stuff to do at the end today. So, all right, that's good. Okay, so let's, do we have verses? Numbers 13, 2. All right. Oh, brilliant, look at that. Look how fancy we are. All right. Okay. So send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one chief among them. We know this bit of the story. I just want to give a preamble. 12 spies are sent out, one from each tribe. They looked the same, remember? They sounded the same. They came from the same stock. There was 12 of them. And they all, at this point, they had the same experience of God. And so what you see is there's a huge difference, right? There is a difference with our church. I want to tell you this. Ever since we, Penny and I, had in our heart to plant Exchange and start Exchange, we knew that there was a different spirit in our church. And that has been borne out over the years. As people have come and gone, one thing has never changed. I remember it was a pastor called Brian Houston from Hillsong Church spoke to me in this very room, would you believe, when it was a building site. And he said, we had only been going it wasn't that long. But I remember him standing here and he said to me, Andrew, what you need to do at all times is to guard the heart and the spirit of your church. That's your job. And God had put in us that revelation of grace that we were growing in at that stage, okay? To go, what's different about us? Because with churches from the outside all look the same, right? They all kind of look like you lot, right? As gorgeous as you are, sometimes there's not a big difference on the outside, isn't that right? most of you anyway. If you're gorgeous, just say yes, amen, I'm gorgeous. Yeah, receive that word this morning. Some of you need to repent. Well, you're under grace. You don't need to repent, right? Because gorgeous is a stretch. That's all I'm saying, right? But you look from the outside, right? And you kind of go, like, it's all the same. But God had put something different. And we actually didn't realize it at the time. But I'm as convinced today as I've ever been that Belfast, Ireland, the nations and beyond needs a church and a community of people which is founded on the finished work of Jesus and is unashamed, unembarrassed to declare that Jesus is grace and the only gospel is grace, right? That includes everything from healing to provision to everything. Like, you know, people go, you're the health and wealth gospel. Well, do you know what? Yeah, pretty much. If your gospel makes you sick and poor, then think again, all right? We don't have a message of sick and poor. We have a message of the King of Kings who came and without anything to do with your performance, loved you first, gave his life for you, and you live by that grace today. It is the unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor of Jesus in your life who heals your body, your soul, and your spirit and loves you and promises you that his covenant is an unbreakable, unshakable covenant based on who he is, love itself, the epitome and the absolute essence of love and nothing to do with our performance for him. He loved you first. He loved you when you were in your worst state. Before you ever responded, he gave his all for you and he just says, come, come and receive grace upon grace in your life. That's the spirit that we had, and that's the spirit that we will take wherever we are going. And it's interesting because whenever I think of Joshua and Caleb here, I've said it many times, you can only believe to the potential of the message that you sit under. So you are blessed to sit in Exchange Church, and the people who are going to join us in the weeks and months and years to come will be blessed to sit under a message that says, come and you can believe to the fullness of heaven, an open heaven over you today, where your life can be transformed, your mind can be transformed, your mental health, your physical health, your family and your situation, your finance and everything else can be transformed to the glory of God, right? Okay, we're not going to bring people into religion. We're not going to bring people into a system that says you have to perform. That was never our spirit. It was never, and so when I look at these guys, as they're sent out into the land, right, it says in Numbers 14, 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land into which he went and his descendants shall possess it. So I want you to understand today that our spirit as a church is unchanging and it will never change. I will forever be someone who preaches the grace of Jesus, unashamedly so, no matter what it has cost us over the years. And I can think, as I go through this building, I have very different memories from most of you. I remember most of the stuff that I probably don't want to remember, actually, right? Okay, the heartache and the everything else that went on in these very, very rooms that we stand and worship Jesus in. But one thing that the Lord has always said to me is, Andrew, It was actually that word from Pastor Houston, Brian Houston. Keep the spirit of this church alive. Why? Because it's for such a time as this that I've planted you in this country. And we're going to see the fullness of that. Because you know what's happening? We had a prophetic word a number of weeks ago, Penny and I, from this stage, from someone who we really respect, talking about how God was pulling us back to release this church, right? And I believe that's not just a word for us, it's a word for you. Okay, so this is a season where we're going to be catapulted forward, okay, into everything that God has for us. So how do we get there, though? How do we get there? Let's read together Joshua chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, you can open it up. If not, we should have it on our massive screen here. That's awesome. So when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, this is the key. Listen to me. This is your personal key to make sure you remain in grace, focused on Jesus, and you will get through. Because in transition, not everybody makes it. And it's not because God doesn't want them to make it. It's because the flesh screams louder than where the spirit is leading. Do you get that? I'm telling you to be on your guard for that. Keep a watch over your heart in these days. Because what happens is people are vulnerable when they're on the move. Do you get that? That's why whenever, you know, as people move, they're generally vulnerable. And that's the same in the spirit as it is, has been, you know, in the natural. And so, but the Lord gives you keys here. I love this. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you will stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your kids ask you, what do these stones mean? Let them tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Then we go down to verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken out from the Jordan. Just let me say at this point, Jericho is the first big challenge that the people of Israel are going to face in the promised land. Now, we all know what happens there, but they didn't know the outcome, okay? All they knew is that they had to do. The Lord says, when you step into the water, I remember I preached this a number of weeks ago, you keep your face towards the ark, 1,000 yards in front. The ark is a picture of Jesus and his work. As the ark goes in front, what you're to do is always keep your vision on Jesus, even though you can feel the water lapping around your ankles, right? Okay, it's the only way to get through. You won't get through with your eyes on anything else or anyone else. Now, what happens on the other side is those stones, right? It's like from where we are to where we're gonna be, what do we bring with us? The physical stones are a picture of something else for us today. What do these stones mean? Verse 21, 22, tell them, Israel has crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had all crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and that so that you might always fear the Lord your God. I love this. Can I just say a word over you today? If you want to move to where God is leading you, spiritually speaking, then your key is thankfulness. The stones are simply representations of God's faithfulness and God's goodness, God's provision, God's charity, God's love, and God's grace over your life that we and literally tens of thousands of people have experienced in this place. Right? I am so thankful today that if there are many times, many, many, many times where I did not believe that I would ever make it. Do you get that? Like ever make it. I don't need to rehearse it, but you it would make your hair curl, some of the stuff that was chucked at us as we tried to get this church established. And I didn't think I would make it many times. So as I stand here today, what does God say? Rehearse that and live in it. No, be thankful that I carried you over. Do you get that? But it's not my thankfulness that will carry you. It's your thankfulness to God's faithfulness in your life that will carry you through in grace to the future. And remember, like as Mitch said last week, I love that word of it's a triumphal procession. We are going to go from grace to grace and glory to glory. Does anyone believe that? All right? We absolutely are. You see, what God starts in your life, he finishes. What God begins and initiates, he watches over it to see it through. And he does not ever take away. He only is a God who adds and multiplies to his work in you. We've got to believe that. We've got to receive that. We've got to say, yes, Lord. And when everything around us looks different and feels different, God is still the same. Do you get that? And in fact, sometimes what he has to do is he has to ruffle us a little to get us moving and get us going. And so in the middle of that, can I ask you to guard your heart? Guard your heart. Because your physical life is secure because you've got the promise of God over it. But the devil's not going to come, and where he'll come is the whispering of the little words causing offense, getting, in the little cracks, the little things that you let fester, starts to color your view of people, color your view of leadership, color your view of the church, color your view of where we're going, color. And all of a sudden, you find yourself so steeped in offense that you can't see the wood for the trees. Right? Simplest way that you'll be taken out of where God is leading us is not because of anything physical or anything else. It'll be because you didn't guard your heart with thankfulness. Do you get that? So let's read on, because what happens here? Now, many people know that we have to be thankful, don't we? So we try to create a positive attitude. I'm going to be positive. How's that work out for you? All right. It lasts for about 25 seconds until you have to meet some numpty, right? Probably here. And you'll go, that didn't work, right? And it's actually because it's law. Do you get that? Whenever you go, I need to do, right? That is law, right? So when you put yourself under law, it strengthens the very thing that you're trying to get rid of. But it's amazing how quickly we forget what God's done for us, right? And so what God says is, every one of you, as we progress and as take something of my goodness, my thankfulness, or my faithfulness, something that I did in your life in this place, something where I touched you and I met you, something that where I encouraged you, something where you received in this place and you took it into your life and you saw me move, and guard your heart with my faithfulness in your life. Do you get that? Because you're going to draw on that in the weeks to come. Because here's the big deal, right? The big deal is, I would love to think that in the weeks to come, we're all going to be like the Waltons. You know what I mean? Skipping into the future. It doesn't work like that, though. People complain, don't they? You ever find yourself complaining? Yeah. There's lots of reasons why we complain. I don't complain. I am not a complainer. Right? But I've heard about people I might have who do complain. Amen. There's three big reasons why you will complain about where you are. When you go next week and you're sitting on those pews and your backside's killing you, right? And you'll be like the children of Egypt coming out of Egypt, going, oh, remember back in the day we had those black chairs. Those black chairs were awesome. But my flipping backside is killing me right now, honestly. Oh, my back. Oh, I can't do church in here. My back. Oh. Wise up, right? But we do, like the Lord actually commanded people in the old to not forget. In Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18, yes, he says, don't forget God's goodness and God's faithfulness. Carry it with you. Because you're going to build, the thing is, what God's done in this place, we're going to take that experience of faithfulness and promise and grace. And he says, this will be for the generations to come. Do you realize we're on the cusp of something as a church? Where there's generations who are going to hear the stories of God's goodness in your life, and it's going to change generations to come. Do you believe that? It's going to change this city. If you don't believe it, your view of Jesus is too small, because that's what he promises here. Let's go into it. Can I just help you? There's going to be three things that'll make you complain. Number one, you're going to feel stressed because it's all new. It says in Exodus 16:2, and that's number one, the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So sometimes what happens is when people encounter things like shortages, right? Inconvenience. I had to park. They were getting parked, as an example. We're working on that. They encountered shortages, inconvenience, and so they complained bitterly. And sometimes when our circumstances are a little bit difficult and not just so comfortable, we can get stressed about it. It's okay. And in the pressure of that moment, it leads us to complain. Other things is, you know, in life, unfulfilled desires, another thing. We complain because, you know, we murmur that we're not where we should be. And we can turn that on to other people. We point the finger, can blame them, can make it their problem when it's really just about us. We compare ourselves to others. We make our unhappiness somebody else's problem. And then we complain. Other reasons would be like we're just dead selfish sometimes. Anybody? Pure and simple. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Sometimes we complain because we're just flipping selfish. We like it our way, our view, the way that we see things, the way that we want it. You know, and the point is, when we don't get what we like, when things are not done the way that we like, we complain. And then all of a sudden, there's a root into your heart because the enemy just has a stronghold that he's starting to build on. And before you know it, you'll be so far away from God's plan for your life, but you'll be blaming everybody else apart from looking at what happened here. Don't let it happen. Don't take the bait. Do you hear me? Don't take the bait. The consequences for that are too big. For what God, where God is leading us to, it's too big. Whatever the root is, right? Let me tell you, whatever the manifestation of it is, can I tell you what the antidote is to it, according to Scripture, is stay thankful. Because when we're thankful, the enemy has no foothold. Because thankfulness, I'm going to explain it in a couple of minutes, okay? Right? Is not, that's the different spirit that we have. See, grace makes you thankful. Legalism makes you judgmental and critical of other people, makes you unhappy with what you're not getting. That's just law. That's law in your heart. I'm speaking really frankly with you. Do you know why? Because we need to speak frankly. And we need to be real about what's going to be going on in these next few months. But a thankful people and a grateful people, that's a totally different spirit. But that's the spirit that I always saw in this church, was stay thankful and stay grateful to Jesus first and foremost, because his grace is enough. Now, are we doing okay? Heck, okay, I need to go quick. Can I just say that, let me say this, grace is the root of thankfulness. Let me explain this. There was, at verse 2 it says, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest stood firmly. That's the picture of from the very place that the priest stood, right? In your time of trial, in your time of difficulty, when you sat in this building and Jesus ministered to you through his word or through worship or through the encouragement of the body, right? That's the picture of you standing, right? And you remember how Jesus touched you. Then what you do is you say to the Lord, I'm going to take that with me, all right? From the very place where I stood firm, and I'm going to bring it over with me into the new place where I'm going to stand, right? Into the new place where I'm going to stand. Now, there was no way, see, whenever these people were crossing over, there was no way that they could have ever held that river back. And Jesus said here, remember, it was my work in your life. Just like I can honestly say today, there is no way I was getting through in the natural, because I was finished so many times, counted out and done, right? And many of you don't even know half the history, but honestly, I was literally counted out. And going, you know what? There was no way in the natural that I could have seen a way forward, but Jesus did. And where we needed grace and where we needed his work, it was there. And it's like the picture of the River Jordan for me, going, it's in full flood, and there was no way anyway that Penny or I could have ever held that back, but he did. Right? And that remembering that it was Jesus that brought you through keeps you humble. It keeps you Jesus focused. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking where? Unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because the lesson's still the same. The lesson is when we're thankful, we acknowledge that it's not our effort that produces anything in our lives, prosperity, blessing, or anything else. And that's why God tells them to build a memorial, so that it's not about living in the glory days and living in the past. Because, you know, as they get to Gilgal, this is just before Jericho, he says, build it here, but they're not going to live in Gilgal. That's only the start of the journey. Do you get that? Do you realize the next few months for us are just the start of a whole new journey? I find that very exciting and a wee bit nerve-wracking. Can I be honest? So it's not like we're going to cross over and go, Jesus, you're awesome, brilliant, and then just live there. We're going to move on. Do you get that? Both spiritually and maybe even physically, who knows? We're going to see what the Lord does with us. right? But we're going to see that we can't stay there, but the heart of thankfulness is what goes with us no matter where we go. And many of us have forgotten that. Many of us have forgotten them. And actually what we've done is we move ourselves out of grace, right? When we're not thankful, can I just tell you what happens? Is you position yourself to not receive God's grace because it's then about you or it's about other people. Do you get that? We've got to live, and we've got to live with a thankful heart that keeps us totally focused on Jesus and his work, led by his promise in front of us. Because as soon as your eyes are off the author and finisher of your faith, there's no neutral. They're on you or they're on other people, and either one is going to lead to disaster in your life. It's the way it is. So I am doubling down in my life to go, Lord, right? I kind of feel like I don't know what Jericho is next, but what I do know is even if it is Jericho, right? You've already promised that you have walked that before me, and at the sound of your voice, boom, it's going to fall anyway. Amen? That's what we have faith for, right? So I almost felt like the Lord say, you know, who sang that song? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That one? Was that the Carpenters? No? I have memories of my dad playing records, LPs, back in the day on a Saturday when he was fixing the Vauxhall Viva. Remember that? Do you know the things that scar you as a child, right? It was Vern under the bonnet of the Vauxhall Viva, wasn't it? Was it the Haynes manuals? Remember those where you used to be able to take your car apart? Every week he took it apart and put it back together. But he used to do it to, it was War of the Worlds, number one, terrified me. Dun, 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 dun. I remember that record, Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds. And then it was Meatloaf until he read the book. And then remember he read the book and like Meatloaf was off the devil. So all the Meatloaf records went out. But it was the Carpenters, I think. One day at a time. How did I ever grow up normal? But I'll tell you what happens. Do you know what? If you feel weak, if you feel shaky, it's because your eyes are on you and not on the one who is leading you through. And actually, the Lord says something about that. The Lord says something about that in 1 Peter 5. You know, our next few months are not a battle. We're not thinking that victory is going to come at the power of our hand and the power of our clever thinking. Honestly, I just feel the Lord saying, for every one of you, I've got the future. I know where I'm leading. I know what doors I'm opening. But see, for you to get through, stay thankful today. All right? And let me worry about where I'm leading you to. It is not your job, the Lord says, in your life to worry about where he leads you. It's your job to stay humble and focused on Jesus. And he will lead you. He will open the doors that you can't even see. He will position the people that you need. He will make circumstances and situations fall and align in your favor miles down the road before you've even considered it. He is not just with you today. He is already miles into your future, the weeks and the months to come, going, I'm making a way. I'm making a way. As you rest, he's making a way. As you sleep, he's making a way. As you work, he's making a way. And what he says is, in order for you to walk into that, just keep your heart thankful that I am leading you every day in grace. Do you get that? Stop worrying about the things that you can't control, the Lord says. Stop worrying about the things that are beyond you, the Lord says. You can't stop the river, but what you can do is stand in faith and walk through as I lead you and bring that experience with you. So that in the weeks and the months to come, when you do get a wee bit stressed or a wee bit whatever, my backside sore. Now, I bet you, see if anyone says your backside sore from sitting in pews, don't say that to me, all right? I'm just going to give you a warning, all right? Don't do it, all right? But he'll bring you through. Actually, it says in 1 Peter 5, it says that God resists proud people, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Can I just help you with that? Antitacitai is the word in Greek for resisting, okay? It just says he ranges against. So what that means is he doesn't beat you, okay? And humble is the word tapenoi. It means God reliant or not self-reliant. So what happens is it's almost like the picture is it's not like God resists the humble, like he beats you, but he just kind of almost stands against that in your life. Do you know why? Because he knows it doesn't work. It's like, have you found at times in your life, like the more you try, the harder it becomes? Anybody? The more you try, it doesn't work. Have you ever found that? Have you found at times where you're like, no matter what I do, I can't? Well, there's a sense actually where when it's about you, the hand of God's grace just is like, you're never out of God's grace, but there's a flow of favoring in grace, right? Where God just goes, look, if you want to do it, I can't. So actually what he says is, in these weeks to come, don't be people who go, I'm going to be positive, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, all that kind of stuff. It's like, honestly, keep your heart thankful. Keep your heart grateful. Keep your heart focused on Jesus. Keep remembering all of the goodness and promise of God and how he brought you through. The times when you think about this place and you go, he brought me through. I'm here today because he brought me through. I'm standing on the other side with goodness knows what in front of us, but he brought me through. And I'll keep my heart in that place. Let me just give you a few things to finish here. I love this. The whole way through the story, when they go to Jericho, then they go to Ai and all this kind of stuff, they kept putting, you know, the ark in front of them, Jesus in front of them, his power, his presence, and his promise. And when we do, we remind ourselves that it's the finished work of Jesus that we have to depend on. I want to say the other side of it is ugly. Ungrateful people are generally self-centered, judgmental, critical, and they never inherit fullness. They just end up twisted. And so here's what the word says in Philippians 4. I'm going to read it from the message. Celebrate God every day. Every day. I mean, revel in him. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and will settle you down. I think that's amazing. Does everyone feel like you just need to be settled down? Just life, right? Just any. Well, that sense of God's wholeness, his presence, his power, his promise, just coming and settling you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So summing it all up, I'd say to you, you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, but not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. There's your key. It's an incredible key for making life success, a life of increase and blessing. You know, because like I've said, there are going to be challenges. We're going to have steps of faith. We're going to be out of our comfort zone. It might feel quite scary at times. You know, it's kind of like life, isn't it? But one thing I'll say is this, is that in the middle of it all, I just felt the Lord say, I'll say it again. Stop worrying about way down there. All you need to worry about or give your attention to is Jesus and his grace today. Can I just say, Jesus actually taught that. He said, you have grace for when? Today. What did he say? Don't worry about, because you've only got grace for. So when you step out of God, how do you step out of God's grace? You start to worry about tomorrow. But you have all the grace you need right now for today. Isn't that good? I love it. I'm going to remind myself of that in the weeks to come. Isaiah 26:3 says, they should keep me in perfect peace. I personalize this one. When my mind is stayed on you. Penny and I pray this most mornings. Today, Lord, we want perfect peace, so we have to keep our minds stayed on you. Let me just give you a few things that will really help you, right? When you're thankful, you're thinking about God and his goodness. So let me just say this. Why is it that you've got grace for today and thankfulness for today, and that's important? Well, there's some things you just need to know for your life. Number one, it's when we live like that, thanksgiving prepares the way for blessing. Do you get that? The way in your life to break through, to increase, to peace, and everything else, all right, is that thanksgiving prepares the way for that. Why? I've already explained it, because it's always focused on Jesus. I honestly believe that ungrateful people will never walk in the fullness of God. They end up miserable and disappointed, so don't be that. Do you get that? Don't be it. It's the biggest trap of the enemy, and he does it, you know, so many times. But what you see, and I've already mentioned it, when you look at Lazarus, the feeding of the 5,000, I've preached it so many times, you look at Jesus, and there's he's your pattern. What does he do before anything breaks through? He gives thanks. He turns his head to heaven and says, thank you. And it's that thing of everything that I have now got. Okay, there's now a massive clock at the back, okay, which is keeping me on time. It's like, oh my word, all right. If you look at it in the life of Jesus, you know, so many of us want breakthrough, don't we? We want increase. We want to see the goodness of God. But we are miserable, self-centered, you know, lack of humility in our lives. And of course, grace is there for us, okay? God doesn't love you any less, but he kind of goes, the problem with all of that is not that God doesn't love you. The problem with all of it is that it puts you in the middle and takes Jesus out. Do you get that? That's his problem. He goes, don't do that. It's like I said, you know, you're better than that. There's more to it than that. That's the problem here. It's not an anger or a judgment. It's like, guys, you know, if you're the center, I can't be. So, and I'm not going to push my way in. So that thing of turning and going, like, as I learn the pattern and the rhythm of gratefulness and thankfulness today, don't worry about tomorrow. You can be thankful tomorrow. But see, today, Lord, I am grateful for your grace. I'm grateful for your provision. I'm grateful. Like any one of you, just like I'm saying today, say, I'm only standing here because of God's grace. How many times did any of you think you weren't going to make it? Let me hear it. How many times did you think, I'm done, I'm finished, and that's it? How many times had you written yourself off or other people written you off and said, you'll never amount to anything or come to anything? But yet here you are this morning in the presence of Jesus, and he looks at you and you go, he says, you are a trophy of my grace. Amen. All right. Now, when I'm grateful for that, when I'm thankful for that, what it does is it actually prepares me to walk in to more goodness. Because Jesus' trust and his faith expressed itself first in thanks, and the result was an overflow. I think we open the way to blessing and the experience of God's grace when we're thankful people. It prepares the way. Don't wait until your breakthrough to be thankful to God. Praise him before you've seen it. Like, we've had to do that so many times standing here that you'd honestly, like, so many times saying, Lord, you brought us through, and we're still going to stay thankful that today our best days are still in front of us. All right? And it's always, you know, as I look back, you know, even in the ups and downs, I was thinking, well, what can I be specifically thankful for? You know, when we took this building on, it was Penny and I, from Mum, Dad, and 10 other people, whatever. Like, in our whole journey, no matter what has come and gone, just something simple, where I went, yeah. When I look at this building, see, I can choose to go, oh God, remember that happened, and those people, and right, and all the rest of it. And let me just take a drink. You know what I mean? I'm just joking, right? Or I can choose, because you know what I was thinking this week when I looked at it? I went, there has not been one month ever, even back in 2014, when we went down to zero money in the bank, right? And we have never missed a bill in this place. Somebody say thank you to God. The whole way through COVID, when even friends of mine in their churches were cutting and slashing and Dan and I not paying their rent or their mortgages because they just had to knuckle down because the church had to get through. Can I say, church, because of God's faithfulness and your faithfulness in giving, we paid our way every month. Why? Because God was faithful. Do you get that? That is a picture of grace. So it makes me think, so what are the things that I carry? I'm going, you know what, God? Whatever you did in the past, like some months, like honestly, I remember one month and we had very little money. But whatever money we had, somebody who was part of our leadership team had committed it to somebody else. And I was left going, oh dear, right? And I just felt the Lord say, pay it. I went, I didn't make the commitment. He said, he did. You honor it. It was to a missions thing. I was like, okay, I'll do that. And it left us basically 2 weeks out, didn't it, from the rent at that stage with no money. And then all of a sudden, God supernaturally provides, all right? And we get all that money back and we're able to pay our rent, okay? Literally, like, I was looking at the next 2 weeks going, well, this is an interesting thing, interesting situation to be in. But you know what? we never, ever missed a month. God's good. Do you get that? And so the way that we can guard our hearts is to go, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to take that with me. Do you know why? As I am thankful. When I said to myself when I was driving down and you look at the building, when I saw the big signs go up to let, I said to myself, you know what? Every time I walk past this building or drive past it probably, all right, what am I going to say? I'm going to say, thank you, God, that you're faithful. Do you get it? It's going to be a big visual reminder that God is faithful. Because we never missed. He carried us through every month. Isn't that crazy? Like, honestly, he carried us through every month. When you do that, number two, it'll overcome discouragement. We've only got about 5 minutes left here. You know, Paul wrote those verses in Philippians, you know, celebrate God every day when he was in prison, and being persecuted, discouraged, and in hardship. And 16 times, I think it's 16 times in the book of Philippians, he tells them to rejoice, right? And he's in prison, the dude's in prison. It cracks me up, right? And why does he tell you? Because where you feel discouraged, what you need to do is, as it says in Psalm 69:30, is I'll praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Okay? God doesn't get bigger because you worship him, right? God is God. But in your mind, in your heart, in your attention, all of a sudden then he starts to overshadow everything else. Why? Because your heart is set on him. That's the point. You're praised. See, sometimes people go, when we praise, it like God moves. No, he doesn't. He's God. Do you get that? But what happens is we position ourselves differently and our attention changes. God doesn't change. He doesn't become bigger because we praise him. He's already Jesus. He's the King of Kings. But in our mind and in our attention, he takes a different place. And so whenever you feel discouragement, if you allow your circumstances or people, words to become bigger than the truth of what God says about you and the promises over your life, then can I encourage you, where you feel discouraged, turn it into praise. Something incredible happens in your heart and mind when, as an act of your will, you speak the truth of who God is. One of the patterns I have in my life is every day I shower. You'll be glad to know that. And it's just a bit of a personal detail there. But I'm not saying if you don't shower, I'm not judging people who are non-showers. I'm digging myself a big hole right here and I need to back out of it, right? But I have my worship playlist, which I bring in. And Holy Forever. Okay, I've played that every day now for over a year. Every single morning, blasting it as I'm in the shower. Why? Because what happens is I go, before I start this thing, I have to fill my head with the truth of who he is. And I want to put his song in my lips as I start the day. Simple things to overcome discouragement. You know why? Because thanksgiving, the root of thanksgiving is to think, and the root of gratitude is the root of the original word is about grace. So actually what that means, thanksgiving, the two root words together, is to think about his grace. You get that? So I just think about his grace and it overcomes discouragement. Number three, very quickly, if you're anxious, thanksgiving overcomes anxiety. The word says that instead of worrying, pray. It says Philippians 4, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know what concerns you. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together, will come and will settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. The Bible says that the anxiety of a man's heart weighs him down. Do you know that verse? That actually means the literal word is to strangle you. It's like you're being choked or strangled. And can I just say that? The reason why you feel anxious is because you're out of control. I'll say that again. Anxiety is about you not having control. Because your ability has met its end and there's a gap between what you can do and what you need to do. And in that space, fear and anxiety take root. Do you get that? So if you feel anxious, it's actually because you don't feel like you're in control of what's happening. Now, what happens is whenever you give thanks to God and you start to, you fill your heart and your mind, what happens is that gap closes. Because that's why, honestly, like I've had such a supernatural peace around this move. It's just not normal. It doesn't feel normal. It might not, like I said, there's a big space here where our heart should be, but you know what? But I kind of go, like, I've been really clear in my thinking. I will not try to control things that are uncontrollable. And every time I feel, like, do you know what will happen? Let me tell you how you're wired. Your feelings of anxiety and the behaviors that come is because of how you think. Do you get that? That's how every single one of us is wired as human beings. You think something, perceive it, it generates a feeling, and then you have a behavior. All right? So the thing to do is to slow yourself down when you're feeling anxious and go, what am I thinking about? Because my feelings are just, I'm not saying change your feelings, because you can't change your feelings. Has anyone felt worried? And the worst thing somebody says, you stop feeling worried. You bog off. Like, okay, I'll not feel worried for about 15 seconds. And then I'm more worried. I'm worried about what I was worrying about. And I'm worried that I can't change that I'm worried. And I'm worried that I should be able to change what I'm worried about, but I can't. So it's all just mental. And it's like, oh, all right. When you feel anxious, this is what Thanksgiving does. This is why it turns your attention, your thinking. Because when you change your thinking, like, I don't have control here, but he does. He just said, be thankful today and grateful, right? All of a sudden then, my feelings will start to change when I turn my attention and my thinking onto the King of Kings, who says, you've grace for today and I'm leading you tomorrow. The last thing is, it'll release the power of God into your life right now. The root of this word, right, as we said many times in prophecy, we hear it, repeat it, do it again. So there's an application of the word thanksgiving, which is about testimony releasing the power of God into your life again. I don't know how that works. I'd love to know how it works, but there's something that the Lord says. In that moment where you're thankful and you're grateful, in that moment, there is something happens in the spiritual that releases the power of God into your situation. And what he's done before, so do you know what I'm believing for, see, in terms of provision and all that kind of stuff? Like, what I'm carrying with me is this building, to me, I'm so thankful for God's provision. I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness. I'm so thankful for God's mercy. I'm so thankful for God's, you know, strong right arm over Penny and I and our kids' lives. I'm so grateful that when everyone counted us out that he brought us through, right? I'm carrying that with me to go, do it again, but do it even more. Do you get me? Amen. I'll finish it there. Because has that been okay? You see, the word just brings you back. Sometimes the most profound words are the most simple ones. If you take anything away from today, take this, right? That different location next week, but the same spirit. We look at things differently. Like Joshua and Caleb, when everyone else saw impossibility, we saw what grace could do. And that's been our story ever since we started this place. And God has remained faithful to his word to us. And so, whatever you did there, Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful. Do it again, but do it more. And all I need to do in the middle is release myself. And what you need to do this week is release yourself from you and your stuff and just literally say, Jesus, I'm not going to worry, but today there is grace for me. And tomorrow when I wake up, there will be grace. And before you know it, you'll find yourself right in the place of purpose and design that grace called you for. Do you get that? That's what I'm believing for. We're going to have a heck of a journey, church. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. It's going to be an adventure. I think for some of us, it's going to give us a spark of life that has been missing, a sense of purpose around what we're called for. Not to play the church, but to see the church in all of her beauty, touching the lives like Jesus in the streets, like we talked about there. Do you get that? Your best days are in front of you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Your best days are in front of you. Let me declare over every one of you today, you're going to see the goodness of God in this land of the living. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Brilliant.